Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has. In this dunya, in this world, Allah has prepared everything, all resources and the things that we need. Allah is the Khaliq, the Malik, the Creator. He knows more than us about our requirements and needs, that which time, how much does He need and where. The servant, the human being, gets quickly upset, quickly distressed. But Allah Ta'ala, He is aware of all of the needs of the human being. And He gives everything to His human being, His creation, that is important and that is necessary for Him. For us, this dunya is necessary, because this is the place where we have to try to attain our Lord, our Rabb, our Creator. And hereafter is more important than this world. And through that effort that we make here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He forevermore, permanently will give the maqam of the hereafter for us to stay. What we call Jannah, paradise. So Allah ta'ala has prepared for everything. He has made everything. For living in this world, if we see, for living in this world, Allah has created such human beings who always research and analyze things, information, to attain some knowledge. They're always trying to get some more knowledge, just do some more research. Because these are the needs of the world. People are researching for the things we need. For example, you'll have seen both generations or eras that, for example, people used to stand in a line outside the telephone booth. And what did you know then that some years later you'll have the phone in your hand or in your pocket and you'll use it? So this is the research of the human being. Those things are all there in the universe, the knowledge and technology. But when the human being researches, then he learns. It's not that this technology wasn't present before. It was there in the universe. The resources were there. Human being researched, analyzed, found out, put things together, and then he understood. And Allah says there are many secrets in the universe. A person will continue to research and look and seek, and you'll find today the phone's in our pocket. Maybe we'll go beyond that. Allah Ta'ala will give us the invention of something even beyond this that we don't know now. So research continues, the work of the dunya continues. So this is dunya. And more important than the dunya is the akhirah, the hereafter. Allah Ta'ala has also for the hereafter created the scientists and the researchers who are called the mashaykh, the sheikhs, subhanAllah, the walis of Allah. They research for the hereafter, the Sufis, whatever name you want to give them. Yes, with your own understanding, people have given them different titles. Sufis, mashaykh, walis of Allah. But the same function they fulfill. Just like the researchers of the world, for technology in the world, the same way the mashaykh, they research for the hereafter. That how can the human being get to his Lord quickly and nicely? SubhanAllah. So as research improves and increases, then they research new things, present that to the human beings in a nice way, and they introduce the creation to Allah. This is tasawwuf, which we call also tazkiyah. Tazkiyah. We don't say that. Allah Ta'ala has called it tazkiyah. Allah. So we have kept different names with it. Sufi, Khanqa, Silsila, or whatever names people give, titles, different names that are attributed to this science. And people, they say, oh no, Sufis are this, they're not right, etc. But look at the work, what they're doing. The work of tazkiyah, purification of the soul, is if it's 100% according to Sharia, then it's tazkiyah. If there's bid'at, innovation, wrong actions, there could be wrong actions. But the system, following the principles, nobody can reject tazkiyah is essential. How can anybody? Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that I came to purify and to explain how you can be purified. In this dunya, you can't live without the Quran. You can't live without the hikmah of the Quran, which we call fiqh and jurisprudence or sharia. Nor can you live without the third thing, tazkiyah, the three functions of the Holy Prophet. All are essential and important for us. So the ilm of tazkiyah and the mashaykh, the research on this, such great personalities. So tasawwuf, in the realm of tasawwuf, which is the third function of the Holy Prophet, purification, a lot of research has taken place. And there are two situations that I will, a bit of information is coming to my mind, so I'm sharing that with you, because you are students of Tazkiyah. So just to explain to you these two points. It's a complicated masala. There are two maqams, two levels in Tazkiyah when a person's working hard and purifying himself, within himself, his islah. One is wahdat al-wujud, and one is wahdat al-shuhud. These are two maqams, levels for the believer. Wahdat al-wujud, that was there, all the akabareen, pious predecessors, the Sufi, the personalities, the mashayikh, who have passed in the history, all were on this practice and on this level of wahdat al-wujud. And their maqam would get to this point. All of them. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created a darvesh, his wali, sent him to the world, and he came right to the end. After all of the pious predecessors, 1,000 years after the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's why he was given the title Mujaddad Al-Afthani, the reviver of the deen, Al-Afthani, after 1,000 years. So Allah ta'ala selected him, sent him to the dunya, he illuminated the dunya with his presence, such mashallah knowledge came into his heart that when he saw himself, mashallah, he was on that maqam, he didn't reject wahadat al-wujud, mujaddad al-aftani rahmatullahi, he didn't deny it. But when he researched and he looked into the ilm, and when the knowledge was made apparent to him and Allah ta'ala gave him the guidance, he said, no, this is nothing, this is just one stage, there's another maqam, wahadat al-shuhud. He defined that Mujaddad al-Aftani rahmatullahi. And on that there was a lot of clamor and confusion, because all the Sufi Hazrat, all the pious people who had passed before that, the great mashaykh, they, Ibn Arabi, people like him rahmatullahi, and they said, how can this be that all the mashaykh, the pious elders, that how can there be wahadat al-shuhud, and this is denying wahadat al-wujud, that there's another maqam after that? So wahadat al-wujud was such a maqam, was such a level that, so when I'm just summarizing this to you, was technically there's a lot of points in this. So on one maqam, a person, he would stop in wahadat al-wujud. And his feeling, his emotion of the human being, even now, is there. But beyond that, a person, he can go beyond that. As a Mujaddad al-Afthani, he enabled the person who's learning to go beyond that level. So in that, the human being, what he does is that he is fana, he is immersed in the remembrance of Allah and the knowledge of Allah, and he gets close to Allah, that he forgets everything. And he starts to say, just like some Sufi Hazrat from previous, they say, Ayn al-Haq, like Azad Mansur al-Halaj, rahmatullah alayhi. And Bayezid Bastami, rahmatullah, he also said that Ayn al-Haq, I am the truth, I am Haq. So how can this be that there's an example here that is given? So just like the sun, we have the sun, it's the sun. Yes? And all the rest of the universe is detached and separate to it. But the sun is separate from the rest of the universe. But when a person looks at the sun, the glare of the sun, the glory of the sun, the light is so intense and strong, that apart from the light of the sun, the person can't see nothing else, because it overwhelms everything else. Yes, if you look at the sun and you pay attention to it, your eyes will, so there'll be so much brightness, and the rest, you won't see the rest of the light around you, because the intensity of the sun is so much. In reality, there are the forms of light, the dunya is in existence, and everything is present. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also is present. The sun is present, is separate, and everything else around it in the universe is present. In the same way, when a human being gets to a maqam, he gets so strong and he gets close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he considers there's nothing else apart from me who's close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because subhanahu wa ta'ala, he starts to understand everything from within his own knowledge, and he's detached from the dunya at that time. So this is a very, dangerous maqam, where people can come off track, and fatwas were written that these people, that they have gone too far in the research, etc. that there are people on this maqam and they're in danger at the time. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's karam, he said no. Allah ta'ala showed such a clear path of pure sunnah tariqah. Sunnah tariqah. And that's why his call, Hazrat Mujaddad al-Aftani was that he revived the Sharia and the Sunnah. And he emphasized on the Sharia and the Sunnah. So when he explained this, that when he went beyond that maqam, and it was such a maqam, Wahdat al-Shuhud, that person says, no, Allah is this and this is the dunya. He sees everything crystal clear and separate. And he's conscious, that person. And close to him, Sharia and Sunnah, to adhere to it and practice it, is very simple for that person. It's in front of him. He cannot come off the track. Everything for him, it has to be Sunnah Sharifa of the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And everything depends on the practice of the Sunnah Sharifa. So, this was his research, Hazrat Mujaddad al-Aftani. I'm just giving one example of his research and the work he did of the deen. So in our Naqshbandi order, silsala, such levels arise. Lataif, when you remember and you do al-qabat and you have higher levels and you get closer to Allah's fadl and grace, person spiritually improves and he goes up on the levels with ease. But his feeling doesn't change. His emotion, he's conscious at that. And he understands his maqam level. He won't tear his clothes. He won't say things that are wrong. He won't make noise. And he will keep himself sincere. And he'll go on higher maqams, higher levels, but very calmly and smoothly and consciously. He's in the world, in the dunya, working in the dunya. But his heart is attached to Allah. His hands are immersed in the work of the dunya. He's fulfilling the rights of the people in dunya. At the same time, every moment he's close to Allah. Allah is with him and he's with Allah. That person. This is the maqam, the level. And such maqamat Allah Ta'ala has instilled into the human beings. This was his research. As a Mujaddad al-Aftani, the such things Allah Ta'ala has developed qualities within us that when the believer, when the walis of Allah, they do research, then the treasures that are within the human being, they start to develop that person. How did we know about lataif, latifa, qalb, latifa, ruh, latifa, sar, latifa, khafi? The different levels, the different spiritual maqams. Thousands, millions of people don't know this. But when a person travels on the journey of tazkiyah, purification, and he's serious as a student, then alhamdulillah, and he goes on the straight path and his shaykh guides him, then mashallah, the light of the deen and the reality, it comes in front of him apparent. And he's traveling there. So research has showed that inside of the human being, in his inner self, in his inner state, these are the levels that he needs to attain. And all the paths open up for that person, the believer. So, the result, the final result is this, isn't it? To attain the qurb ilahi, the nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah's attachment, and a person, the believer, as he develops and improves, he gets closer to Allah. And when he follows the principles, and he attains the maqamat. Just like there are many maqams and levels, when the murid, the student, follows the guidance of the shaykh, the teacher, and he spiritually promotes, then Allah's qurb, it increases and gets stronger. So these asbaq, the lessons of the tariqah, they are like the steps. You go on the first step, then the second step, then the third step, then you continue going up and up. And you have to get to the top through the stairs. This is in the same way, the human being, the first lesson, second lesson, third lesson, fourth lesson, he carries on and he reaches to the qurb and the nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So my brothers, from highest maqam, the highest level of Allah's qurb, which is given, remember this point, is called, Allah Ta'ala has given it the name, what is that called? Taqwa, subhanallah. For which, overhauling, for refreshing, the month Allah has given, Allah says that this month is greater than all the other months. Is azim, is most blessed, is the greatest. Why? Because through this month of Ramadan, that work is performed that it takes the person to the highest maqam of muttaqi. You know, there's all maqam of the believers in the world today. But for Allah, the highest and the closest to Allah in the hereafter will be the muttaqi believer, the muttaqi. Highest, most successful will be who? The believer who is a muttaqi. The highest level in the hereafter will be the muttaqi. Why? Because the meaning of muttaqi is that he is closest to Allah. He is closest to Allah. Nearest to Allah. Attached to Allah. Look at this. Hazrat Jabir radiallahu anhu, he narrated a hadith which is found in Mishkat Sharif, that an individual came and he said, O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, unique question he put forward to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that There's an individual and he does a lot of voluntary prayer, nafal prayer, tahajjud prayer. He keeps nafal fast, voluntary, extra, sadaqat, charity, extreme nafal ibadah he does. Compared to him is another person who is doing tazkiyah, purification. Yes, there are different names, tazkiyah, or he's cautious, or he is very careful. All of this comes from tazkiyah. When a person's on the journey of tazkiyah, then all these things come to him, the fear of Allah, the caution, and he's careful, and he abstains from the wrong. All of this is tazkiyah. Tazkiyah. So who's better? He asked the question to the Prophet ﷺ. So Allah's Nabi ﷺ said that obviously the person who's doing nafal, an extra voluntary prayer, that's fine. But the person who's doing tazkiyah, he cannot compare to him. He cannot compare to the man who's doing tazkiyah. He cannot even equate to him, get close to him. He cannot even get near to him. The person who's doing tazkiyah, purification, caution. So this is a high maqam. Imagine this. That the person who is who's traveling on the path to Allah, so that he wants to clean himself inside himself, wash himself, purify himself, to recognize what he is, to remove the defects. Until we don't wash ourselves inside, clean ourselves, we cannot attain Allah's nearness. So the fast that Allah Ta'ala has given to us for this purpose, so that human being can purify himself and clean himself so that he can recognize me, Allah Ta'ala says, and get close to me. لَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ So he can become a muttaqi. Allah said nothing else. Allah said, despite doing all of this, the whole of Ramadan, after passing through Ramadan, Allah says, I overhaul you, I refresh you, I clean you, do your maintenance. Through that, Allah Ta'ala does everything for the human being so that he can get closer and closer and near to Allah's qurb. And this is called the muttaqi. The muttaqi individual, Mu'adh bin Jabal radiyallahu anhu, one hadith of his I'll share with you. Various times you'll have heard this hadith from the respected scholars. Maybe I've shared this hadith with you, but it's according to our topic, so we will repeat. I'll repeat this hadith to you. As a Mu'adh bin Jabal radiyallahu anhu, great companion, about whom I said to you yesterday that from the Sahaba, his level was that he was the most in distinguishing between halal and haram. Mu'adh bin Jabal, the Rasulullah said, from all the Sahaba, the person who knows best about halal and haram is Mu'adh bin Jabal radiyallahu anhu. So he was sent to Yemen by the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was dispatched to Yemen. Go to Yemen. And he was being given the responsibility, he was made the Amir, and go and teach the deen. Which deen? Halal and haram. Tell them about the deen of Islam, said the Holy Prophet. So the Prophet was seeing him off when he was departing Medina. He was leaving Medina, and the Holy Prophet sat him on the camel, and the Prophet was walking by the side of the camel, taking him out to the outskirts. He wanted to disembark and get off the camel. The Prophet said, no, you stay on the camel, and he walked with him. And the Prophet ﷺ is walking with him with the camel to see him off. He's telling him the instructions. Walking him off, telling him the instructions. Imagine the scene. And he was sending him off, giving nasiha, giving advice, explaining to him, instructing him. To the extent that they got to the outskirts of Medina, out of Medina, and they continued on this. Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu anhu kept on listening to the instructions, to the orders. In the final part of the hadith, his words were that Rasulullah ﷺ said, Mu'adh, Ajib, unique statement, that now you will not see me after today. Maybe when you come back after today, then in my masjid, you will have to pass by masjid, and you will have to pass by my grave. Amazing words, great words of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Weighty. Mu'adh bin Jabal, he just was finished. He started to cry, that I won't be able to see you again. He was told, so the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so much he loved Mu'adh bin Jabal, subhanAllah, he said that, I love you. There's a statement that Mu'adh bin Jabal said, Ya O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I love you. And Rasulullah said, also I love you. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then turned his face to Medina. And after turning his face, then he said a unique statement. Unique statement. He said, Mu'adh, Inna ulan nasa muttaqoon. مَا كَانُوا حَيْسَ كَانُوا This is the final words of the hadith. Mu'adh, such a great message. He said, remember, مَنْ أَوْلَى النَّاسَ مُتَّقُونَ That I, I am with every muttaqi. Do you understand who is a muttaqi? Who does tazkiyah. I am with every person who does tazkiyah, I am with every muttaqi. Doesn't matter how far he is, man kana, whoever he is. Whoever he is, he's going to, wherever he is, whoever he is. In other words, doesn't matter how far he is, wherever he is. But if he is a muttaqi, and he is doing tazkiyah, he's cautious and careful, and he purifies his batin, his inner state, then tell that person my message that he's not far from me, rather he is close to me. Subhanallah. 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 What a great piece of news. Great news. Rasulullah said, between me and the muttaqi, there's no distance. The distance is between the hearts, maybe due to his sins, due to the hurdles that he puts up himself, the darkness that they put inside him, the person who does wrong. But Rasulullah said that although you are going, but if he makes the sins far from him and he purifies himself, then he's not far from me, said Rasulullah. Because the distance and the nearness is not due to the gap in terms of the space, the measurement. Rather, the distance is due to the darkness of the heart. That's what Christ says. If you love somebody, then always that person is close to you. Isn't it? Always that person close to you. Always you'll be thinking about that person. If you love a child so much, then that child will never be detached from you and separate from you. You have no need to keep his photo. You have no need. Every moment in your heart, you will think about that child. In your tasawwur, in your thoughts, whoever you love, in your emotions, in your thoughts, in your heart, that person's stuck to you. He's stuck to your heart. Yes, a shair, a poet said, that he was very close to me, to my heart. I was going far in distance, but he was very close to my heart. Allah Ta'ala was very close inside my heart. That Allah Ta'ala says, I'm closer to you than your jugular vein. So how foolish was I that I thought my Rabb was far from me? He said, when I saw that he's very close to me in reality. How can he be that he's far from me? And he realized that when I loved Allah, then all the veils were removed, and when my defects came out, my sins came out, and all the dhulam came out, alhamdulillah, that nur I started to see, that Allah's qurb is with me, is alongside me. Subhanallah. So the distance was my own, due to myself, due to my sins, due to my disobedience, there was the gap, the distance. So Allah Ta'ala, it's not due to Allah Ta'ala being far. So imagine the high maqam of taqwa and tazkiyah, purification. Very high status. Here has a Mufti Shafi Sahib, rahmatullah alayh, Mufti Shafi Sahib, who wrote the tafsir of the Quran, Ma'riful Quran, Mufti Shafi Sahib. He's a great Sufi, great scholar. He was the Khalifa of Hazrat Mulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi Sahib, rahmatullah. And Hazrat Thanvi Sahib, he sent him as a Khalifa to Pakistan. One was Mahmud Al Hasan, one Khairuddin, one was Mufti Shafi Sahib. Subhanallah. He had three Khalifas. Three Khalifas went to Pakistan, and the biggest madrasas in Pakistan, Darul Ulooms, these three initiated and established them. Jamia Ashrafiyah, Darul Ulooms, was Mahmud Al-Hasan. And in Multan, Khair Al-Mudaris. Subhanallah. So much, such a great madrasa. Massive madrasa. And it was in Multan. That's why all the muftis and the ulema, the respected, they were, even Hazrat Mufti Abdul Sattar Sahib, that he was the Mufti Faqih Asal, the real jurist, that he had a lot of ilm and knowledge of the fiqh, jurisprudence. And he was called the Faqih Al-Asal, Hazrat Mufti Abdul Sattar Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi. And when he got bayah with my Sheikh Hazrat Sahib, when he came, I was there next to Hazrat Sahib at that time. An ajeeb scene, you should have seen, such a great scholar, Mufti. And no one could imagine his rank, and Hazrat Sahib, small hujra, and he had a big jama'ah of ulema with him, respected scholars that came from Multan. Big jama'ah of ulema, scholars at that time. With that Mufti, and this ajiz, this humble servant was there. By chance I was there at that time, that day. So who is this? They said that this is Mufti Abdul Sattar Sahib from Khairul Madaris. He's the Mufti Azam, the head Mufti, and he's the Faqih Al-Asl, the highest Faqih of this time. And he had a high maqam. He's come to take bayah from Hazrat Sahib, my Shaykh, for tazkiyah, for purification. So when he came in, and there wasn't enough room that all of those people, the guests, could sit. So some were outside near the shoes, some on the road, on the pavement, because that was a darvish environment, mashallah. Simple, humble environment where you get space there. So I was in the corner just looking at what's happening with these people, mashallah. Look at me, and look at these great persons that were sat on the shoes right in the corner. Right in the corner. Because every man sits where he deserves to sit, subhanAllah, according to his capacity. So after he went close to Hazrat Sahib, then Hazrat Sahib gave him bayah and gave him the spark and the lessons. and the coaching. For which reason did he come? What did he have? What was his need? He came for the purpose, because taqwa is another level, another subject. Until you don't go and meet a man of taqwa, you cannot learn taqwa, you cannot attain taqwa. Because he had studied all the kitabs, uloom, knowledge, he used to teach people himself. But he didn't have that nur and that knowledge inside him of taqwa. So then, after that, when I saw his situation, after his improvement, and how the change came to a human being, I could tell you his events, you'd be amazed and shocked. Allah Ta'ala may give him the highest level of Jannah. Such love he had between me and him, that extreme muhabbat and love. Subhanallah. So this is also the waqi'as, events of life that passes. Life continues and passes, but these memories a person continues to remember. Subhanallah. So this is taqwa. Taqwa. To attain taqwa. So to attain the maqam of taqwa, the research was taking place. And what was the conclusion of the research? That's what I'm telling you today. That tazkiyah, all the lessons of tazkiyah, purification, tasawwuf, these are the levels that a person has to pass through to get to Allah's taqwa. That's what the Sufis and the walis of Allah, they've researched, they've done the hard work for us. So this is one research, one subject of Islam, that the respected Sufis have taught us, that to attain taqwa, there's a very basic thing we need to do that I'd like to share in your service today. And due to the barakah of this Ramadan, that there's one thing, remember, there's one thing. Without this, this is the research, that these things are within us, the capacity is within us, but we don't utilize it, so we cannot get to that level, that understanding. So we don't utilize it, because we don't understand it. If you don't utilize it, for example, I have my eye. If I don't use my eye, I say I can't see. They'll say, foolishness is mine, or is it the eye that's wrong? It's my foolishness, isn't it? If I open my eyes and use it correctly, I can see. Allah's given me a mouth. I can eat with my mouth. And I can, don't use my teeth, I can't eat, I say, I complain. If I use my teeth and I chew, then I'll eat. Today we give up and sit down and we complain. So listen to what I'm saying carefully. That not one, not two, the whole dunya is full of the people, it's hard to get close to Allah. We complain. It cannot be. This is wrong. That our sins, we say we can't get rid of our sins, it's impossible for me to leave the sins. That not one or two people, that our ma'ashra society is complaining of this, our Muslimin society, and even a high level taqwa is given up today, they say, no, I can't do this, I can only do this, I can't leave the wrong. That, for example, maybe this part of the deen, leaving the sins is for special people, we can't do this. But deen isn't for special people, deen is for all of us. Where Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, لَعَلَكُمْ مُتَّقُونَ مُتَّقِينَ. Has Allah Ta'ala named a special select group of people? Tell me, Rasulullah said, مَا كَانَ. That any individual, black, white, African, Punjabi, whatever offspring, whatever tribe or whatever nasal, whatever part of the world he lives in, wherever he's from, there's only one condition. That if he is a muttaqi, then he's close to me, said Rasulullah. Oh yes, that event I left in between that I was sharing with you. That how does a person get close? Mufti Shafi Sahib, I was talking about that and I went off on another discussion. So this same Waqimashi was a great sheikh himself. He was a khalifa of Hazrat Thanvi Sahib, rahmatullahi. From the Akabareen, the pious elders, you know his history. So how much work of the deen, Mufti Shafi Sahib, and mashallah, his children that are now alive, the work they are doing. So he said, I used to go to Umrah or to do Ziyarah to Medina. And he said that I couldn't dare that I could go close to the Rawda Mubarak, to the Subhanallah. Everyone has their passion and their taste. Not that those who go close, they're doing wrong. But some people are such, they cannot dare out of the respect that they can go close to the Rawda Mubarak. So they go to do salam. You know that wall at the back, they stand there from afar, they recite durood and salam. Everyone has their status and their emotions and their condition, their feeling. Some people don't consider themselves capable. They're on the high level of taqwa and recognition. They can say, it's not my maqam that I can go close to the Rawda and give salam. Baral. So I cannot explain to you this depth and understanding. Every person can share his own. That I can only explain and share with you my feelings and emotion that are there. I can't share it to you about other people. So his kafiyat, his emotion condition was whenever he went to do ziyarah to the Rawda Mubarak, he'd go from afar and he'd close his eyes, he'd cry, recite salam. And so in my heart, one thought passed and he said, in my heart I felt that where am I and where is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? These people. So look how these people are close to you. They stood in front of you, Rawda Mubarak. If only I had that good fortune, that I also could be closer to you. But I'm not capable. I'm not on that level that I can be close to you. He had that feeling inside himself. So then he said, these are his words that I'm sharing with you. Subhanallah. Two words he said, that in my heart the call came out, the announcement. Alka. You know these things Allah Ta'ala makes apparent sometimes. Sometimes in the ears are here. Sometimes the heart makes you hear. Sometimes from the eyes a person can see. Subhanallah. Allah Ta'ala, when he wants to make something apparent or share. So he was a great level, great maqam. So when a person's tarbiyah is being done, when Allah Ta'ala wants somebody to select somebody for the work of the deen, that you're going to do this work of the deen, do this work of the deen, then according to his capacity, that person's prepared. That prepare for the work of the deen. So he had to give tarbiyah to hundreds of thousands and millions of people. He had to write kitabs. So this is why he experienced this condition. Not that it happened with him and why it's not happening with me. Why it's happened to him and not to others. This is not the case. Everyone has different status, different condition. Allah Ta'ala gives the guidance. But nobody is less. The real thing is that Allah Ta'ala becomes close to that person. So do you understand what I'm saying, or is it hard for you to understand? Okay. So we continue. So he said that that time I heard sudden call in my heart, and I stood there firm. And what was his hal at the time? Imagine. He said two words, two announcements, two messages. One, that Mulana Shafi Saab, this is not him. Rather him, subhanallah, he shares the hadith, man kanu haysukan. He shares the hadith that before, what did I say? That inna ula nasa muttaqoon. That this is the condition. That he was told this first. The close to me is that person, most closest to me is that person, that human being. Always, every moment, this is the hadith that I shared with you. Same words. Close to me, most of all close to me is that insan, that person. Doesn't matter how far he is in distance, how far away he is. These are his words now I'm sharing with you, not my words. Written in the kitabs, his kitabs. And you can phone the Darul Uloom and ask that, did this event occur or not? You can phone and ask. He said, Mawlana Shafi, this is not the case that what you are thinking, that you're inferior. Close to me is that every individual, doesn't matter where he is, how far, even if he doesn't arrive here, doesn't even come here, doesn't even do Umrah, he isn't even stood in front of my Rawdah. This was what Rasulullah was saying. But he is very close to me, that individual. Compared to that individual, even if he is attached to the holy fence of the Rawdah Mubarak, even if he's attached to it. But that person who's far, he's closer to me, even if there's a person in front of him, Rawdah, reciting durood upon durood, salam upon salam, but that person who's far away is closer to me, who's doing amal on my sunnah. So when I say subhanallah, and this announcement reverberated, who is doing amal on my sunnah, and he was an alim scholar, near to do tabligh, and he stood there firm, suddenly. Now because these are mashallah, and this is something that he kept in his heart. And he doesn't go and share with people that had this kashf and had ziyarah of the Prophet. So some of the walis of Allah, they swallow these things. They don't make this common knowledge. They don't share this with a common man. They don't have no need to show off to people. They don't want darajat and etc. and awareness and recognition. So he, when he heard this and when he experienced this, then straight away another word came. Another announcement that Mufti Shafi, that you hear this and you need to tell people this also. Subhanallah. That's why these words are coming to you today, subhanallah. Otherwise this would not be shared with you. So when he used to share this fact in his speeches in the gatherings, and when he used to have taqreel, when he shared this incident and event, that I was given a hukum that I need to share this with you. Subhanallah. Imagine, I was given instruction that I share this with you. That Allah's Nabi Sam is not far from you. He's not far from you. Don't consider that you are far from him. He is very close to you. But on the condition, if you follow his Sharia and his Sunnah, subhanAllah, that you consider haram that he said is haram. You consider halal what he said is halal. Every Sunnah of his, you are ready, and you have desire and passion and a want to follow his every Sunnah. And you want to attain that maqam. So this is the maqam. The level. So now, everything to attain, what is that condition? Tazkiyah, purification, caution. To get to this maqam, the high level, what is it? To become a muttaqi, one has to perform tazkiyah. So just as I was saying, that those people who give up, they lose hope, who the whole society today, mostly within the Muslimin, this is increasing as the dunya gets closer to Qiyamah, as the fitna gets closer to us, then this group will be bigger in number. It's too hard, we can't practice this. It's too hard for us. It's impossible. How can we practice this sunnah? How can we leave this action? How can we do this? It's too hard for us. So this grouping within the ummah will be greater who makes this complaint. So the beautiful cure for this disease is that the real solution is Allah Ta'ala has created something inside you, you have not utilized it. And that's what, if you utilized it, it wouldn't be hard for you to practice. What is that? Look at that point, the Sufis, the research, the Walis of Allah research this point. That thing, if you utilize it, then it's impossible that you will not get close to Allah and you will attain all those levels that make a person a muttaqi. And you can attain the qurb of Allah. The nearness to Allah. There's no restriction for any human being. It's an open playing field. Man kanu haisu. That whoever he is, wherever he is, however he is, whatever creed, whatever place of the world, there's no differentiation in Islam. No differentiation. But one thing we need to do. Why do we not attain that level of taqwa? Why don't we have that understanding? Because we are weak inside. So come, Allah Ta'ala has given us the guts. He's given us a quality, capacity, utilize it. What is that? Listen to this now. There's nothing that is hard. It's not difficult for us to reach to the nearness to Allah. This minute, the greatest ibadah of Allah says to you, you must do this, you must do this, you must do this. Then it will become so easy for you that you cannot imagine. This is the research of the walis of Allah. And what is that? Listen to this carefully. Clearly, very small thing that's within us. We know it. We're aware of it. We're aware about it, but we don't utilize it. Just like in a house, there's everything there. Sometimes we say, "Oh, yaar, this is a very easy cure for this. That don't you have haldi at home? Oh yes, we eat haldi. That just take a small portion of haldi and your stomachache will go. Today, we use a lot of other formulas, remedies. You got blood pressure, a lot of high blood pressure. Yeah, don't you have dalchini? Oh yes, dalchini I've got at home. Yes, we've got glasses full of it and jars. Just utilize it one small, half teaspoon, put it in the water, drink it, mix it and your blood pressure will go. Yes, I'm giving you the medicines as well on top of this. MashaAllah. Yes. So the blood pressure is eliminated with this. So in your house you have those remedies, but we don't utilize them. So then how can you cure yourself? But we'll give up and say, my blood pressure won't go. But sometimes there are so many important formulas and they're there within us. We don't bother with them. We don't use them as solutions. So what happens is that this is our situation inside us. Such great treasures are within us. Such great treasures are within us, inside us, but we don't utilize them. We don't use them properly. If you want to use them, go to a wali Allah, he'll coach you, guide you, and he'll make you learn how to use them. But you must have the courage and determination, just like Musa alayhi salam, and he had that event with Hazrat Khizr alayhi salam, that he was a Nabi. And he said, I want to learn this. Allah said, will you do sabr? It takes time to learn this. You have to have sabr and endurance. He said, yes, I will be patient. He said, you won't be able to do it. And this in Surah Kaf, you will have read this event. So what this is teaching to us, Quran, the path of tazkiyah. Path of tazkiyah. That with a Nabi, this incident occurred, and you are ummati, be careful and cautious of one thing. That in this path, this is the path, but you have to be patient, you have to endure, you have to keep traveling and trying, and don't lose hope. Don't get scared. Don't fear, otherwise you will fail. And this happened with Musa alayhi salam. He said that you cannot do this, you are not a student. You are not my student, I could give you everything. But you didn't do sabr and you weren't patient and you were quickly not accepting. So if you want to follow this path, don't look 5, 6 years, 10 years. The whole life you need to learn this path. The whole life. This is not a minor knowledge. Because you want to get akhirah thereafter. You want success in the hereafter. You're not seeking a small treasure. Everything will be permanent. We have to arrive there. And Allah has given us the formula that after this life there will be death. And suddenly the veil will be removed. Thereafter will come. The more that is written. Then it's written. That when your last breath will be drawn, just like a man dies, then you will die and you will go into the hereafter. But as long as you're alive, why are you wasting time and speaking nonsense? Why don't you try your best to attain the maqam for the hereafter? And what do we need for that? The Sufis, the Mashayikh Ikram, the Walis of Allah, what have they told us? They've discovered that's inside us. We don't utilize them. What is that? That is courage and determination. Say Subhanallah. Himmat. Courage, determination. We are cowards. We lose hope. We are so cowardly that don't even ask. We lose heart. Ourselves, we give up. we are so cowardly that, oh, it's my fault, I can't do this, it's too hard for me. Just like a woman will beat us up, no, it's my fault. That, for example, when a person goes mad and crazy, and it's not the fault of that, it's the fault of that person who's giving up. If an individual, a human being, and this is our situation, there's a mountain in front of us, a mountain. And then when you stand at the foot of the mountain, and you feel like you want to get to the summit of the mountain, you want to get to the top, the human being says, oh, are you mad? How can you climb this mountain? And this is normal life, everyday life. A person has these challenges. How can I do this? It's too difficult, yaar. Person says, no, do this. He says, no, I can't do this. Okay, just be a bit, you know, a bit determined. Have some courage, determination. So when he moves and he starts that journey, Allah Ta'ala promises, وَجَهَدُوا فِينَ. Allah says that you have courage, determination, you work hard, my rahmah will come immediately, Allah Ta'ala says. But what do? That before Allah Ta'ala's rahmah comes, we are waiting. Allah, before your rahmah comes, I want you to push me so I can get to the top. Look at the difference between us and the reality. When we do dua, Allah give me tawfiq, Allah give me the tawfiq, we just keep asking, waiting for tawfiq, we think tawfiq, someone will give us a push, and then we'll start practicing. Allah says, no. Allah says, you step forth onto the mountain, second foot. Allah says, third, I'll give you the assistance. Start working. And then that same person, that same individual, he's not a second person, the same person, he's walking, climbing, it's Mount Everest. He, subhanAllah, gets to the summit. He climbs. Do people not achieve that feat? The heights they reach to the height of that mountain. They get to the top of the mountain. They get to the middle of the oceans, to the lowest of the, into the depths of the oceans, because it's courage and determination and drive and effort. And I stand at the bottom, things too hard. But he worked hard, he had determination, Allah's rahmah assisted him. He tried hard, Allah gave his rahmah. He tried hard, Allah's rahmah came to him. He keeps on working, rahmah keeps on coming. And keeps on working up, because rahmah, mercy of Allah is mercy, such a power. That same mountain which was so hard for him to climb, he's climbing, and as he's climbing, that hardness, the difficulty becomes easy. Rather, alongside this, another emotion is developed, and he starts to enjoy that journey. Say, Subhanallah. The same journey, he gets enjoyment. Then he says, yaar, this is a nice fresh air here in the mountain. SubhanAllah. Then he goes above, and then he sees the spring and the water, and such cool water I didn't get. The bottom was dirty water. So as he's trying hard and working, making effort, he gets coolness and emotion, and after such a long time, he gets to his manzil. Then he says, that was a waste of time. This is the real life at the summit, at the top, at the peak that I thought was too hard. Do you understand what I'm saying from the example? So when you say, it's too hard to get to Allah, then step forth and start walking. Why are you afraid? You know to get to Allah, that what is the greatest way, the method, how does a person get close to Allah? To get to Allah Ta'ala's nearness, the tariqah, that you have no determination. The two things I told you, whatever I say, Allah says do, and do that, and whatever Allah Ta'ala says leave, then leave that. Two things, that's all we have to do in the world. When Allah says do, then we don't do. We say, oh, I don't have the determination, it's too hard for me, I can't do it. Allah Ta'ala says, don't do this. No, Allah, I've got to do this. I'm too busy in this, I can't help it, I have to do it, Allah, I'm sorry. That all my success in my life is due to this. If I leave this, Allah, then everything will be spoiled for me in the dunya. So here, what do we need here? To break this, what do we need to do if we want to get close to Allah? First thing we need to do is determination and drive and courage. Say, how can it be I can't do this? Allah has given this action for me to do. How can I not pray tahajjud? Allah has given it to me to pray. When you have determination, drive. For example, I'm giving an example. You say, I want to pray tahajjud. Allah Ta'ala says, I'm closest to you at the time of tahajjud. And if I sleep at that time, then how can I attain Allah's nearness at that time? That my life is wasted then, isn't it? That this small amount of time has given me 30 years, 20 years. Why don't I enjoy every year I speak to Allah at tahajjud time? Speak to Allah at tahajjud time. How foolish I am. I'm scared in my bed. I can't get up. I'm scared already in advance while I'm sleeping. Then how did Abdul Qadir Jilani do this? How did Mujaddad al-Afghani do this action? How did Nizamuddin Awliya become Nizamuddin Awliya? How did they do these things? How did they achieve this? They didn't become themselves automatically. Hundreds of thousands. How did Allah Ta'ala make them attain this maqam? This level. So why am I sitting and crying and complaining? Stand, get up, find a sheikh and he will guide you. He will coach you. But even when we find the sheikh, even then we don't move. Even then I want the sheikh to give me a jump start. Do dua, dua. What dua do you want now? Dua for what? Then inside you've got guts and capacity, determination, fantastic point Allah Ta'ala has put inside you, that you can climb to the top of Mount Everest and you can, according to the success of the dunya, and even there Allah Ta'ala has helped you. So then if you step forward on the journey to get close to Allah, to leave the haram, will Allah Ta'ala not eliminate the haram from within you? But you need time, just like I give the example. With determination and drive, you need a target that I don't want to do this wrong. Because with this Allah Ta'ala will be unhappy with me. If I lie, Allah will be unhappy with me. So Allah Ta'ala, He has put us into this world of tests and challenges. We are in the test. We are in the challenge, in the examination. So Allah says, I want to see, does he leave or doesn't he live? How much does he love and want to attain Allah's nearness? How much does he pull himself together with drive and determination? Allah has given us such drive that he can break the rocks with the drive and determination. Subhanallah. He can break down all the barriers and persevere. وَلَنَبْلُونَكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنْ خَوْفِ Allah Ta'ala says that every trial and test he will persevere. All hunger and thirst he will persevere. All negative conditions he will persevere. But he will not break Allah's hukum and order. Allah says, don't do this. So the people who don't do, they are not utilizing their courage and their determination. This is the reality, my friends. Those who are not practicing. So whose fault is it? Astaghfirullah. Whose fault is it? Tell me. It's our fault that we don't have the courage and determination. We've just made our own syllabus, our own agenda. Do dua, I get close to Allah. Do this action, I get close to Allah. Let me get it just through X, Y, Z. We don't use our capacity and determination and effort and courage to achieve that great end point. Nothing can be achieved without courage and determination. But, courage and determination also such a quality that the first thing that gives us fear, makes us afraid, you can't practice, you can't become pious, you can't practice the deen, that all of this fear that's created within us, a human being, he is on that. If he has got courage and determination, he'll say, I will do it, I will 100% do this, I want to get close to Allah. I want to attain Allah's qurb. Nenis. So when nafs and shaitan put him into the trials and they bring tests to him and go, make him try to deceive him, then have courage and determination. Have courage. Seek guidance from a wali Allah, from a sheikh. But you have to try yourself. Allah says you yourself will have to try. Wajahadu. When you try, Allah says, then I will show you the path to my love and muhabbat and the manzil and the destination. And remember everything I've told. Allah Ta'ala says, I've told you everything. All knowledge has come to you. Allah Ta'ala says that I like this very much. You're waking up in the night, tahajjud, I like it very much, Allah Ta'ala says. I like this amal of yours very much indeed. Yes, this other action of yours, I get closer to, Allah Ta'ala says. So why don't we do those amal, those deeds, tell me? Why? Why don't we do those amal, those deeds? Because we don't have the courage and determination, but we have that capacity within us, because we are cowards. So this is a big learning. We need to understand this. So now, because we are following this path, so Allah Ta'ala is extremely graceful and merciful, and He gives the blessings. On such a great path you are traveling as students, you've forgotten yourself, and you can't get to my nearness. Then Allah Ta'ala gave us Ramadan. Subhanallah. Allah Ta'ala says, the greatest teaching of Ramadan is to teach us to how we can gain determination and courage. A big mujahidah He gave us first. That we didn't have that before. Stay hungry, leave food, leave drinks, thirsty you'll be. And on top of that, another mujahid that we've given, those halal things that were given to us, they also are stopped now. They also being stopped. They also we have to stop. What a great mujahid. Struggle. And then on top of that, Allah says, do. Okay, fine, Allah will do this one day. Allah says, not one day. Every day from morning till evening you have to practice for 30 days you have to do this tilla. In this the barakah comes that whenever a sheikh gives you a job 40 days do this, then 40 days do the action, after 40 days so much barakah that action will become permanent for you. Permanent. You become permanent in the action. SubhanAllah. If you say the salah, 40 days I'm going to pray in this tariqah and this way. After 40 days when you practice that, make a program, make a schedule. 40 days I'm going to pray like this. I swear by Allah, with Allah's fadl, you do the action, 40 days is your target, then inshallah it will continue after, it will become complete. So Allah Ta'ala gave us 30 days to make us muttaqis. And who is a muttaqi? He who follows Allah's orders, and whatever Allah Ta'ala says leave it. He accepts Allah's instruction, and whatever Allah Ta'ala says abstain from, he abstains. When he does these two actions, what does he become? The muttaqi. Who's a muttaqi? For who? Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saying, inna ula nasa muttaqoon. That close, I am sat in Medina, and maybe he's in Bolton, or some other region, in Glasgow, London, America, USA, in Africa. But he is such a person, as defined by Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, who's given a guarantee. Inna ula nas, that I am close to the insan, much closer than that person who's stuck to my rawda mubarak. But if he discards my sunnah, if he doesn't consider haram as haram, and he's stuck to my holy fence, my rawda, reciting urud and crying and reciting nasheeds, then what do you know? That how far from me you are, O man, that you are opposed to me, you are saying wrong. Really, if you had love for me, then those amal, those deeds you would love that I brought to the world, says the Prophet ﷺ. So this is the deen, my friends. It's not about crying and shrieking the deen. It's about determination and guts and determination. You say, of course I can do this. Can't I get up with tahajjud? Tahajjud's nothing. It's easy. One day you set the alarm, next day you'll wake up, then you'll prepare again, and you'll prepare again, and Allah's rahmah immediately will come to you. And such a time that is so hard for you, tahajjud, to wake up at that time, that I can't get up. It's impossible for you, we say. Such a time will come that you will not even feel sleep, that I don't want my tahajjud to be missed. Subhanallah. Due to the sleep that you were not praying tahajjud, wallahi, people have told me, I don't know this, wallahi, they said we don't even feel sleepy now, out of fear that we don't want tahajjud to be missed. Have you seen this? Allah's rahmah is like this. So this is what the fast teaches us, such a great mujahid I'm making you do, and that subhanAllah, arm normal man on the street who doesn't even pray salah. Every human being is fard on every human being, the fasting. This is what Allah tells, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, kutiba alaykum as-siyam. Every man of iman who has la ilaha illallah in his heart, doesn't matter how sinful that person is, doesn't matter how extremely sinful that woman is, all of you people, Allah says, come, you have to learn taqwa and do tazkiyah to attain taqwa. You come, you come, you come. Everybody come to my khanqah, Allah says. Which khanqah? The Ramadan Sharif khanqah. Subhanallah. Enter. Allah Ta'ala says, I want to make all of you muttaqis. And to become a muttaqi, step number one tariqah is what? That you must, Allah says, I'll teach you courage and determination. So don't be afraid on the first fast. Person who doesn't pray taraweeh, doesn't pray salah, doesn't wake up tajud time, forget about tajud, doesn't even pray salah. Allah Ta'ala wakes him up at that time that Allah Ta'ala says, I'm closest, I come to the lowest heaven, and I say, is there anyone there who wants rizq from me, I can give him provisions. Is there anyone who wants health, I give him help. Is there anyone, the high maqam is given to that person who's close to Allah. Today that person has been woken up, who was the waster before that, he was a waster. And he is woken up at that time, Allah says, wake up, get up, do sahur. Do sahri, and fast is also fard upon you. Then he's waking up that poor soul at that time, in bad state of affairs before Ramadan. And he's like us, we also sinful people. Oh yeah, Ramadan's come. Oh yeah, it's too hard. I'm finished. I have to wake up in the morning. I have to do these actions in the day program. How will I go to work? How will I drive the taxi? How will I do other actions? He's complaining already in advance. But that what is forcing us or making us, enabling us, courage and determination. Okay, Yar, I'll do this. I have to do it. So a little bit of courage and determination comes into you. Lightweight amount, and then you have to keep the fast. Soon as you keep the fast, then the rahmah comes. Allah's mercy. What comes? The rahmah comes. The mercy comes. Soon as Allah's mercy comes, the wahal becomes such that when Ramadan ends, the man feels that I don't want Ramadan to leave. It's better for me. That same person. Today, do you know that 15 days gone, 16 days gone, how much enjoyment there is in Ramadan? Subhanallah. So every sin, Ramadan is telling us, giving us a message, that every hukam, order of Allah, that Allah orders us, understand it. Allah says, understand my every order, because every order of mine is so enjoyable, that when you have drive with the hikmah, you practice it, you will start to enjoy practicing my orders and instructions. No order have I given to you to give you pain and distress. Allah says, when I tell you to leave sin, it's for your benefit. No order have I given you, no sunnah have I given you to give you distress and sorrow. When you practice them, have courage and drive, and you will enjoy your life when you do this, in this dunya as well, and in the hereafter. SubhanAllah. So my brothers, this message that we've been given by Ramadan is a beautiful message that if we want to be successful and become muttaqis, then what should we utilize? What should we do? We should have drive, determination and courage that if we can do mujahida of keeping the fast, hunger, thirst, we're doing everything, working hard, then we should try hard. That why don't we follow Allah's orders and that we become so down, it's too hard for us today, this is hard, but Jahannam is harder than this, my friends. The night of the grave is harder than this, my friends. May Allah Ta'ala give us courage and determination. And every human being has that desire. Every human being has that one, that I do ziyarah of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that Rasulullah SAW comes close to me, that I can also hear in my ears that he loves me. SubhanAllah. So Allah said, no problem, easy, you'll attain all of this. Become a muttaqi. Become a muttaqi. That's it. Great hadith, guarantee in this hadith. So I shall tell you that yes, I'm very close to you. I'm near to you. Do this action, and I will be close to you. You have no need to buy a ticket and travel and come close to me. You have no need to purchase the airline ticket. Whatever is fard, hajj upon you, do the hajj. After that, even if you don't come after them, even the rest of your life, just live your life just like the hajj, that always I'll be with you and alongside you and assisting you, SubhanAllah. But no, we don't want to do this. There's a lot of fake and drama upside down. Make us say things, Ashik Rasool, Amalava, and that's it, I think I've achieved. This will not give us success. Deen is, our deen is not, this is very straightforward, simple deen. This is all the fake paths that make, consider halal and halal, haram as haram, accept it in this path. With drive and determination and courage, go on this path. End of story. Everything and measure. What is beloved to Allah? I will do this. Whatever Allah Ta'ala likes, I will do that because Allah Ta'ala likes this action. That's your result. Whatever amal Allah Ta'ala likes, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has given us a complete list. Allah and His Rasul has given us a complete list. Not to us directly did Allah give, in the hands of His Habib Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, via His Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And this is called the Sunnah. And then He demonstrated the Sunnah to us, that Allah Ta'ala holds this dear and beloved. So do as I am doing. And this is called Sunnah. SubhanAllah. So Sunnah, the tariqah, if we practice that, not that, oh, Allah holds this one thing beloved and we just practice what we think is correct and our opinions. No. Allah Ta'ala gave the teaching to the Holy Prophet SAW. He didn't give us directly, just like tahajjud. Direct, we weren't given tahajjud directly. Who's given tahajjud? The Holy Prophet SAW was given tahajjud. So he demonstrated and prayed, then we'll pray just like he prayed. SubhanAllah. And this is called the Sunnah, to implement the Sunnah. This is the definition of the Sunnah. But if I pray my own tahajjud, then what will that be? Then I will be spoiling that action. It won't be the success. So inshallah, may Allah Ta'ala accept our majlis, our gathering, that today what we've heard, may Allah give us the tawfiq to practice upon this. Ameen. Close your eyes and do muraqabah zikr.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. As-salamu wa s-salamu wa ala sayyidina. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala alihi. Allahumma aghfir lana dhunubana wa sallim. أزل الله وجدنا ختم عبدنا كل سليم اللهم اغفر لنا ما قدمت وما أخرت واصرف ما ندمت اللهم لا من عاتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار لا إله إلا الله نستغفر الله ونسأل لما حفظنا كل بلايا الدنيا يا الله صلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وعلى اله وصحبه اجمعين برحمتك يا ارحم الراحمين سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين الحمد لله